Welcome back to the program. It's been a big show already. Scott Pendlebury and also Chris Judd have joined us so far. If you want to listen to those interviews later on, then head to sen.com.au. It only gets bigger now, though, because the CEO of the Tigers has joined us. Anthony Hudson and Nick Maxwell up here in Sydney. Robbo and Kingy are back with Brendan Gale at the MCG. Brendan, welcome.
Good to be with you, Anthony.
Big day today for the Tigers. Can I ask you first up, why did you feel the need to go on Footy Classified on Monday night to inform the fans and just get put across where you felt the club's at the moment?
Oh, pretty much that, Hutto. It's an opportunity to talk to fans and give the fans a sense of, I think, where we're at and where we can improve and where we've been challenged as a team. So pretty much that's all, mate. So
I just thought it was interesting because it's round four. Did you think that the heat was starting to be applied and you needed to calm things down?
No, it's one of those. I mean, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, if you don't front up, Richmond are hiding or backing away. But it's, you know, I've never been like that. If I'm asked to go on that show, it might be once every couple of years I appear. And I thought it was an opportunity to speak to our supporters. And there's a lot of them out there, mate. And I think they're entitled to know where, I think we're at as a footy club.
There was vision of you talking to Trent Cotchin in the rooms after the game last week. How did you, as the CEO and a man who's played the game, and obviously this has been a long journey and I don't know how far you are into it, but the off-field things have turned around. But on nights like that, how do you feel?
Oh, look, no one feels it as hard as the players and coaches, Hutto. So I think we, as supporters, and I guess that's what we are now, we watch the game, we observe the game in different roles, but we're up when we win, and it's devastating when we lose, but no one feels as hard as the players, and he's the captain, and just seeing how he saw the game, and just talked about going forward, and just maintaining a positive mindset. So it's just pretty much not rocket science, mate.
How difficult, Brendan, was it to talk about the playing list? And saying, right, let's look at some facts, reality here. We haven't got enough talent on the list. When the CEO says that, and you've got the list coming into work the next day, and you might have said it in the Herald Sun as well, I can't recall. How difficult is it to then front the playing list?
Oh, look, at the end of the day, if you're reporting back to your members and your supporters, and you give them a sense of where things are at, well, you want to be pretty transparent and speak sincerely. And I guess that's what I happen to believe. I think at our best, when we're at our best and at our strongest, we're not a bad football team. And there's credit in that, because it wasn't so long ago, Robbo, we're a very poor football team. And I think, strong arm to the coach for sort of, transforming this list over a few years in challenging times, but I think at our best we're not bad, and we've got to get better, and that's as all clubs do. But when we experience injuries and all teams have injuries, but I think we struggle more than most because of our lack of depth. That's something I happen to believe, and I think it's a view probably shared by those who tend to look at our list more objectively and dispassionately at times, list management, and that's where we're at. And that's an explanation. It's not an excuse. It's just the way things are.
Can I ask, on the back of that, if that's the case, how can an Alex Rance not be in your top nine paid? If you haven't got depth and you're not good enough to be winning these games like last weekend, how can he not be in that top bracket? Is it a quirk of the system?
It's a range of factors, King. It's a timing thing. He was last re-signed early 13 by his own admission. He was only just going at the time, he's come on very, very quickly and powerfully since then. Yeah. And so there's that. He missed some games last year, so he was ineligible for some bonus type payments that would be factored in. In calculating whether he's in the top 20, so
he's rapid improvement.
So he's basically, there's a technicality as well, but clearly, mate, we given his significant development and improvement as a player, we've been pretty keen to sort of extend Alex for some time and offer him a contract that is reflective of his standing at our club and our game. Now we'd love to do that, and I think Alex's reasons for sort of putting that off have been documented, and we're working through those at the moment.
Damien Hardwick continually says he will be at Richmond. I'm super confident he will be at Richmond. Every time I hear him, I go, that's good, because I feel this vibe off him. But then I hear hear you speak, and I don't feel that same confidence, and all the different reporters were getting involved, and I'm not getting any confidence from them whatsoever.
Yeah, well, mate, I share Damien's view. I'm confident he'll be at Richmond, but I take nothing for granted, and you know, we can't take anything for granted, and so I'll be very diligent in making sure that, you know, he does stay at Richmond. He's, you know, we're very confident that he's not interested in another club. Having said that, I'm sure clubs would be making inquiries. I mean, they'd be mad if they weren't. We're confident that Alex is motivated by money, and he values some things away from football, as we all do at different stages. And but, you know, they're not mutually exclusive in football, and it's about making sure he's happy, and I'm very confident we'll resolve that in due course.
Brendan, just on that list management stuff, last week, I guess, coming AFLPA hat on as well, so you've represented them and obviously now working at Clubland. Last week I spoke about the opportunity for the AFL to open up the trade period a lot more during the season, as well as looking at trading future picks. Is that a way that you think you could help challenge this year?
Look, I didn't note your comment, Maxie, and philosophically, I believe that we spent a lot of time and effort in trying to equalise the competition through off-field measures, through financial equalisation, etc. I don't think enough time has been spent on how do we equalise the competition on-field. And, you know, at the moment, I guess the purest means of equalising competition on-field is through the draft. But I think the draft is compromised. Free agency is a new dimension. You know, a mid-season draft, the opportunity to make... If that could serve that interest about providing more on-field equalisation for teams, and it's something I'd support, mate, as a general rule.
I need to ask you one thing about the coach. When you spoke Monday night and when you spoke to Mick Warner at the Herald Sun, how did it come that Damien Hardwick was suddenly front and square in the discussion? Dimmy was so passionate and so real and honest after the performance on the weekend, and I'm sure every Richmond supporter, if they were in the same position, would have said the same thing. But when it comes from the coach, you think, wow, he's hit him between the eyes. Then Monday, suddenly Dimmer's future is being discussed. How did that quickly come for you defending Hardwick in 2 days?
Well, mate, I certainly wasn't discussed by us. I was asked a question, I think, about his contractual standing or something like that, which I dealt with fairly succinctly. But there's not an issue. I mean, there's no...
Were you surprised that the fallout part of footy?
I'm not surprised, mate, because it's part of footy. It's part of footy, you know. When you put in a performance like that and you know, no matter how you're travelling, people, you know, look to explain the loss and look to blame people, players, coaches, and it's convenient just to go to the coach. But, mate, I want to be absolutely sure and clear, for the avoidance of doubt, any discussion about Damien Hardwick's tenure at Richmond is bullshit.
Yeah.
That's fairly strong.
That's colourful language, but I'm the CEO of this club. I run the club on behalf of the board, and I'm accountable to that board, and it's simply not on the agenda.
When the CEO goes into the football department, or did you this week, or do you leave their performance last week and how they handle it and how they try and respond this week, do you speak to the players, or did you leave that solely with Hardwick all the way through?
No, mate, no, there's nothing. I can't add much value there. Right? No. I mean, I'm a stiff in a suit, you know, I just...
But you're a passionate stiff in a suit.
Yeah, but we know our role at Richmond.
Right.
Everyone's got their role, and there's people there that can work with players and get them up and continue to develop them. I might speak with the coach a lot, formally, informally, you know, water cooler discussions, and see how checking how he's going, and you know, just keep coaching bravely and for the future, you know. So,
is it a big game? Are we overplaying it? I've written today.
Line in the sand.
It's like round five, and it's a line in the sand game after the performance last week, and the month you got ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough competition for everyone.
It's a fierce competition.
It is, and everyone's tightening up even further.
Yeah.
And you've got the performance last week. You're looking for a response, aren't you?
Oh, well, yeah.
Whether you win or lose.
Yeah. I think the most disappointing thing last week was the effort, or lack of. And that sits with the coach and the players. I mean, that's, you talk about the team and
everything.
Youth and all that sort of stuff, but the effort was the most disappointing aspect of that last week. And so it's a big game because we want to see a response today. But mate, they're all big games. There's a fierce industry, and
it's getting tougher.
But you know, you just can't get caught up in sentiment. Yeah, you know, sentiment is just fixed in time, and you know, you can't be making decisions or reacting on. It's just, we're just going to keep boxing on and you know, building a team to realise our vision.
How hard is it to do that though, Brennan? You've built up such a strong force off the ground. The members up over, I think, 70,000. At some stage, they're going to want some success. They've stayed with you through the journey. At some stage, they're going to want more success than they've got. So how hard is that?
It's tough. It's tough. Absolutely tough, mate. It's probably the toughest part of the job in terms of managing expectations internally and externally. But I just hope people understand how far we've come in a few years, and I know our people are so hungry, they're so ravenous for success, they've been starved of ultimate success for so long, and you know, they want to see continued improvement, but it's not linear. Sometimes you have little setbacks, and sometimes and questions are asked, and the better clubs that Chris got this week, the better clubs hang tough, and they back each other and have faith, not blind faith, but they have faith, and that's what we've got to do.
Oh, I agree with that. Richmond have come a long way in the last 3 or 4 years, a long way.
I think
we're quick to jump off them. But if you've got the right coach and the off-field's going from strength to strength and talent's the only problem, then some significant additions have to come at the end of this year. Are you in a salary cap space where you can go over after a couple of big fish? Not the ones that are just, you know, the ones you've gone after the last
Patrick
few
Danger,
years.
Patrick Dangerfield.
The money
type.
Ball blokes we've talked about in the past. Have you got the room to go after a couple of big names from GWS?
Shields.
A Dangerfield. Those sorts of players. Because otherwise we're going to get more of the same, aren't we?
Well, what I've said, you know, continually is that, you know, part of building a strong organisation, a strong club, is to have the opportunity to participate. And, King, we haven't even had that until recent times. So if a player wants to join our club and a player meets our needs, I would imagine we'd be very enthusiastic.
But don't you have to put something to them, an attractive offer?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it works, mate. It's
you have got the money.
No, what I'm saying is we've built our, you know, we manage our list, sorry, manage our total player payments.
To the point where you can go after a Dangerfield type
look,
or not?
I think if a player... you know, not necessarily Dangerfield, but if a player we think can really add value to our footy club,
a Shields, Trelaw,
I'd imagine we'd have a look at it.
Just leave Dangerfield for the Cats.
Let that one go, I think.
Brennan, thank you for joining us. Normally it's Robbo's role to be the swearing, colourful type, but it's really appreciated your contribution today.
I just, for one moment, I thought I was in a pub talking to Robbo once, and I just forgot where I was.
He's got the young fella with him too today. That's not a great...
I reckon... It'll slip through to the keeper. I don't think we'll ever play it again on radio.
Can we delete that or something?
It'll be like Kernahan singing the song after 95.
I hope my mum wasn't listening.
No, but the thing about it is what people want to hear. And you say you're stiff in the suit. You're not a stiff in the suit, because football's not about stiffs in suit. Mm. Football's about passion and emotion and,
you know what I mean,
and building relationships.
Yeah. All right.
Good
thank you,
today.
Thank you, Brennan.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
CEO of the Tigers, Brendan Gale.